Hello to all my chaverim, Yeshiva Toras Moshe, and from around the world. We are starting today a new Masechta. We are doing Masechta's Yoma, which deals with Yom Kippur. We finished up, Bereshit Hashem, we finished up Masechta's Pesachim a few days ago, and Rabbi Weissman thought it would be a good idea for us to do Masechta's Yoma now, so here we are. So, as an introduction, I've been pronouncing it Yoma. I normally, up till now, was pronouncing it Yuma, but the correct pronunciation, I think, after looking through a little bit, is Yoma, which is an Aramaic word, and the explanation of the word is day, special day, Yom Kippur, like we find in Vayikra, Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Lamed. It says, Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tayr eschem mikol chatosech l'fnei Hashem. Hayom hazeh, this day is a day for a kapara that's talking about Yom Kippur. That even though you can do tshuva any day of the year, Hashem makes it easier to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. And also, there are a lot of averis that tshuva alone doesn't help. It's not enough to give you a kapara. You also need Yom Kippur for the kapara, like we see here in Masechus Yoma, Paraches, Mishnah Ches. So now we will start the Mishnah itself inside. Shemis Yamim Kodim Yom Kippurim Mafrishin Kohen Gadol. 7 days before Yom Kippur, they set aside the Kohen Gadol. Rashi says that all the avodas of Yom Kippur were only able to be done by the Kohen Gadol. As we see in Harias Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, it says, by Yom Kippur, in Vayikra Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Lamed Beis, V'chiper HaKohen Asher Yimshach Oso. The one who does the kapara is the Kohen who was anointed, which is the Kohen Gadol. And the Rav adds on that, why do we separate it? Well, how do we know that you separate him? We see from, it says, by the Shivis Yimei Meluim, when they consecrated, did the Chanukas of the Mishkan in the Midbar, it says there in Vayikra Perches Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Umipesach Olamoid Loseitzu Shivis Yamim Admalos Yimei Meluachem. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Aaron and his sons not to leave the Mikdash for 7 days during the consecration of the Mishkan. And the next pasuk right afterwards, it says in pasuk Lamed Daled, Kasha Asa B'Yom Hazeh Tziva Hashem Lasas L'Chapar Aleichem. Similarly, on the day that we use for kapara, and there are Banim Darshan, when it says Lasos, that means when they did the Maisa Parah, when they prepared a Kohen Gadol would prepare a Parah Duma, also had it, he had to be ready 7 days before. And the Chapar Aleichem, that part of the Pasuk is for the Yom Kippur, that a Kohen Gadol who is going to burn the Parah Duma to create the ashes for the people to become tar, and a Kohen Gadol who is going to be working on Yom Kippur, both have to be separated 7 days from their house, just like Aaron and his sons had to be separated for the 7 days Yimei HaMiluim. So where were they separated? Mi Beso, from where? From their house, the Mishnah says. Tver Israel says, we mean from his house and from his wife. Okay, because 7 days and nights, Kohen Gadol has to be near the Mikdash before he does the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And they didn't bring his wife along with him, because maybe after he has relations with her, before she even leaves him, she'll find out that she was a Nida, and she would become Tummy, and he would become Tummy for 7 days, and therefore he wouldn't be able to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Taisa Rekiva Eger asks, why is it such a hard set rule that we take him away from his wife? It's possible he could be, does not be separated from his wife. Let's say his wife had given birth recently, and there are certain days, certain weeks, that a woman, after she gives birth, any dam that comes from her would be dam tohar, and there's no chashash at all that he would become tummy. So maybe it's not every case where you'd have to separate a wife from a kohen gadol. And he answers that maybe it's a low plug. They didn't want to make differentiations, which yes, which not. So for every kohen gadol, they kept his wife separate. So I was wondering, what a low plug, you say on a takana drabbanan. The Rabbanan made a certain takana, they said it across the board, we're going to have this takana, even if it doesn't really match every single circumstance. But here, that we're saying, we're separating the Kohen Gadol, as we said before, the Pesukim, we learned from the Miluim. That's why you separate the Kohen Gadol. So you don't make a low plug on a D'oraisa, on something D'oraisa. It just doesn't work. It's not the same. It's apples and oranges. So I thought maybe to say that separating the Kohen Gadol, that is D'oraisa. That's what we learned from Miluim, that he has to be separated. But the fact that his wife can't come with him, that's only Chashas D'rabbanan, that maybe she will be metameh him. So that's a secondary thing, and I was happy to check it out and see the Rambam Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippurin, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, who writes, Shivas Yamim Kodim Yom Kippurim, 7 days before Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mi Beisel Lishkaso B'Mikdash, they separate the Kohen Gadol from his house to his office in the Mikdash, but Avizeh Kabbalah Mimashu Rabbeinu, and this we learn straight from Mimashu Rabbeinu, it's a Dindi Araisa. Then he says, "Mafrishin oso mi ishto kol shivas yamim elu." We separate him from his wife these 7 days. Shematim sanida, maybe she'll be found to be nida. V'nimsa tamei shivas yamim v'niyachal avod. And he will be tamei; he won't be able to do the avoda. So it separates the point of the D'oraisa talking about taking him to the Beis Hamikdash from the din of separating him from his wife. So you get an idea that there's two separate things there. That one is the D'oraisa, taking him away to the Beis Hamikdash, but the separating from his wife, she can't come along, that's the Din D'rabbanan. And I also found in the Mafteach to the Rambam that it's brought from the Shalos and Shuvas of the Yavetz, Chelek Gimel, Simon Kof Lamed Vav, D'rei Masel Kfar, a similar idea. So Baruch Shekivanti that started off this Masechta with a good pshat. So they took him away from his wife, brought him to Beis Hamikdash. Where did they put him? They put him Lelishkas Palhedrin, in the office called the Palhedrin office. Now the Gemara in Chesma Beis says originally this office was called Lishkas Bulvatin. What does that mean? It means the room of the princes. Bulvatin is a name for princes, that the Kohen and Gadolim were like princely people. And the Rav adds, because the offices of a king are called the Palhedrin. And since the Kohen Gadolim that were in Bayis Sheni after Shimon HaTzadik, they would pay money in order to get the job of the Kohen Gadolah. And since they were Rishayim, they wouldn't finish out their year. And every year we'd have to switch in another one. He doesn't mention it, but obviously what I've heard is that the Kohen Gadol would try to be in Yom Kippur, go in the Kodesh Kodashim, he wouldn't come out alive, and they'd need another one for the next year. So therefore, this Lishka was called Lishka's Palhedrin for the people that constantly get changed every year. Tosfos Daf Chesma Beis, the Ramaskla Dei, asks, how can a Kohen Gadol stay in this Lishka's Palhedrin? Okay, how can he sit down there? How could he sleep in this office? It was part of the Azara, and we have in the Gemara in Chaf Hei Amud Beis that you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. So how did he stay there for the 7 days? He wasn't standing for 7 days straight. And the answer is that it was in the Azara, but still the door, only door into this office opened to the outside of the Azara. And therefore, it doesn't have all the restrictions like the Azara itself. As we see in the Mishnah, Ma'aseh Sheni, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches. And it brings a second answer that some say that the office was completely outside of the Azara, but its door opened into the Azara. And therefore, it didn't have the same exact Kedusha of the Azara as far as sitting, but it was Kaddish enough that he could eat Kachim in that office. Now, there's Machlokas Achronim. If the Kohen Gadol had to be in the Beis HaMikdash for all 7 days, was he locked in there? He couldn't go out at all. The Sfas Emes holds that even though he lived there, he still could go out for short periods of time. Just like when we have a mitzvah to stay and be in a sukkah, that should be your residence during the Chag of Sukkos. Still, we don't say you can't go out of the sukkah at all. So, but it's mashma from the Chazdei David on the Tosefta Perek Aleph, Tosefta Aleph, that he was also to leave the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days. The Meiri holds that there's no mitzvah d'oraisa at all for a kohen to be in the Mikdash for the 7 days, and they only separated him because there was a worry that maybe he'd become tamei from his wife, but he doesn't explain how he fits that in, that shita with the psukim that we mentioned before that did equate the kohenim, the days of the miluim, to the kohen gadol the day before Yom Kippur, and just thinking right now, maybe he learned it was just an asmachta, the Chachamim just used that as a hint to their din, and was only a din to Rabbanon all along. Just something popped into my head right now. Possibly. Okay. Umaskinen lo kohen achar tachtav. So they separated this kohen gadol to his office, and they also prepared another kohen to take his place. The Tveris Harel says, from the Gemara in Gilmam Beis, they prepared another kohen to take his place if necessary, but they didn't separate him for the whole 7 days, because this separation is not necessary. It's not something, it's ma'akev. And this din, you can see that there's a difference between this alternate kohen gadol to the original kohen gadol, because they use the lashon here, maskinen. And by the kohen gadol, it says mafrish, and they separate. Here it's just prepared, but they didn't actually separate. But the Tosefta on Perek Aleph, Tosefta Dalid, does use the word mafrishin for the second one as well. The Kol HaRemez learns from the Rishami that the second kohen was separated from his wife, but he wasn't moved to the Azara, like in the Lishkas Balhedrin, where the kohen gadol was. And therefore, the word mafrishin is different than the word maskinen. Even it's not a mitzvah for him to be in the base of Mikdash for the 7 days, still he would separate from his wife because they didn't want this second alternate kohen to become tameh. According to this, they still had to separate him for 7 days to make sure he wouldn't be tameh. But the Gvuras Ari wonders if we really needed to separate him for 7 days, or maybe it was just good enough before Yom Kippur to prepare this kohen, alternate kohen. And I was thinking as well, there's one kohen gadol, there could be many alternates, so why bother to separate a kohen 7 days before? And if the one you wanted to separate became tameh during those 7 days, you'll take a different kohen and separate him and use him to be the kohen gadol if necessary. So maybe that's pshat in the Gvuras Ari, that it's only necessary to have him ready the day before Yom Kippur, and then he'll be ready to go. You take someone who's tar, Yom Kippur, prepare him to be the alternate kohen gadol if necessary. Now, Rabbi Huda, the mission continues, Omer, af isha cheres maskinen lo. You also prepare for him a second wife, Shema Thomas Ishto. Maybe his wife will die, and we'll see in a bit why he would need another wife, why he needs a wife at all. And the Gemara, Adaf Yud Gimel, they learn this, that they say that he had to actually make a kiddushin with her before Yom Kippur. He had to physically, you know, give her a ring, make a kiddushin before Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur itself, if his wife passed away in Yom Kippur, he wouldn't be allowed to marry this other woman on Yom Tov, as it says in Beya Parakeh Mishnah Beis. But he can't be married to two wives on Yom Kippur. It says Beiso, one wife, and therefore, what does he do? He gives her a kiddushin before Yom Kippur, and for each one of these two women, he gives a get on the condition that if everything works out okay and his wife is fine, he does something that will be mavato, the get, to his first wife. So only the second wife will be divorced from even before Yom Kippur. And if Chas v'Shalom, his wife did pass away on Yom Kippur, he'll do some kind of an act, timuvato, the second get, the second woman, and sof, he would be married to one woman on Yom Kippur. Only one woman. Okay, the Rishalmi that is brought on Taisus, in Taisus, Daf Yud Gimel Beis, the Remas Kol Chada, holds that he didn't marry the second wife, and the Isser to marry a second wife, if he needs on Yom Kippur, we just gets pushed off because the necessity of this occurrence, and maybe since it's in Rabbanan, could make that this is something that they would have allowed in their original Gezerah. The Sfas Emes, that was my idea, that last point, the Sfas Emes on Taisfes holds that any chuppah that was done within 7 days of the Kohen Gadol when he was separated in the Mikdash, that won't work, because it's not a kedushin in Imser Labia. It's not, he couldn't be living with that woman. So what's the point of having a kedushin if he can't be living with her? And so therefore, they'd have to prepare this second wife even before the 7 days that he'd be separated, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And so what does he learn this from? Shenemar v'chiber ba'ado ba'ad beso. he has to make kapara for himself and for his house. It is basil su ishta, talking about his wife. So, and this is a pasuk in Vayikra Tesayin, pasuk vav. The Meshech Chachma there learns that since all the dinim that are mentioned in the parasha of Yom Kippur are ma'akev, they're necessary, he has to do it exactly that way. So he also has to have a wife and ready, he has to have a wife be married to her to make a kapara for her as well. So that was Rabbi Yehuda, set aside another wife in case necessary, so he shouldn't be without a wife. But they said to him, Amr lo, in Cain, in the Devar Sof, you're going to worry about that, Rashi says. If you're going to worry about she's going to, his original wife has died, there's never going to be an end. Maybe the second one will die. You have to prepare the third one, a fourth one, a fifth one. You'll never be able to prepare 100% certainty in such a way that his wife, he'll have a wife. The Rav adds on as well, for Tuma, where we separate and we're worried. Okay, that's something which is Shchiach. It's something that happens often, people who come tell me. And therefore we prepare for him another Kohen, Gadol. But for someone to die, it's not shchiach that someone's going to die right off, without any, just drop on a instant. That we're not worried about it, and therefore we don't prepare for him a second wife, and that's the halacha like a chachamim. Tais Yatzif writes that for Tumah, a kohen gadol is also very careful, okay, and he would really protect himself from Tumah. And the only reason we prepare another kohen gadol is to give him an extra incentive that there's another kohen gadol waiting to take your place, so be very careful not to become tameh. He'll be more careful than usual. Tiferes Yisrael in the Boaz asks that if you say to your wife, the kohen says to his wife, I'm going to be megarish you 1 hour before my death. Here's your get, and it should be effective 1 hour before I die. If he does that, she can't eat truma right from now on, because maybe he would die at any time. So we see that there is some kind, the Rabbanim make a takana, that she shouldn't be eating the truma, and maybe he would die. So they do make takanas for people possibly dying. So why over here is it different, that they don't want to make a takana that he would possibly die? So I thought to answer that maybe there's a difference. Everybody's going to die sooner or later. So the Rabbanan, in this case, where he says 1 hour before he die, we know he's going to die sooner or later. The Minit Takana, maybe that sooner or later is going to happen sooner. And if she eats Truma, maybe it happens within the hour of when he passed away. And therefore, she shouldn't have been eating Truma at that time, because she would have been divorced an hour before he died. But here, in our Mishnah, we're worried about that one particular day, Yom Kippur, his wife will pass away. And that we don't, that's a big chashash to say she, on one specific day she's going to die. No way to compare it to the case of maybe someone will die at any particular time. That's my own idea. I haven't seen it anywhere. If anyone has a better idea or sees a specific answer somewhere, please contact me. I'd be happy to hear it. And that's the end of the first Mishnah. Now we're ready to go to Mishnah Beis, which in the Gemara is on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. And it goes like this. Kol Shivas Hayamim Hu Zarikas HaDam. All 7 days, he does the Zrik of the Dam. The Rav explains, this is of the Tamidim. Every day there are two Karbanas Tamid brought. And he gets the job of being Zarek that Dam, in order she will be used to do the Avoda of Zrikas HaDam. Rashi says he'll be ready for the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Now, the Meiri says that during the week, the Kohen Gadol was busy on the Zerika of the two Tamidim every day of the morning and the afternoon. The Hayin Asher writes that even though the Kohen was also involved in the Shechita and the Kabbalah on Yom Kippur, whenever he did a carbon on Yom Kippur, he shechted it, he taught the Dam, he wouldn't do that during the 7 days to prepare himself. Why? Because the way that it was done on Yom Kippur, the Shechita, and the Kabbalah is different than it was done every day, other day of the year in the Beis HaMikdash. Because on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would shech most of the Simanim, and then he would let another Kohen finish the Shechita. Meanwhile, he would then be mekabel the dam, and the rest of the year you can't shech that way. And therefore, if he wouldn't do that a practice every day the rest of the year in the Beis HaMikdash, because it wouldn't be dissimilar to the shechit on the Kabbalah he's going to need to do on Yom Kippur. So what else he did besides the Zrikas Adam? The Mishnah says, Umakter es haktores. He, every day, there would be a portion of the, Rashi says, there would be a portion of the Ketores brought on the Mizbeach HaZav inside, half in the morning, half of that portion we brought in the afternoon. So the Kohen Gadol would do that all 7 days to prepare himself for Yom Kippur. And Umeitiv es HaNeiros, we would prepare the candles in the menorah. Now Rashi and the Rav said, what does that mean, Meitiv es HaNeiros? It's going to be a lot of machlokos what exactly that means. Rashi and the Rav says he would clean it out from the ashes of the wicks that had gone out. And we see from that, it's mashma, that the filling of the oil and replacing the new wicks are not considered part of the avoda. It's just a hechsher preparation for the avoda of the lighting of the new ones in the evening. The Rashash in Tamid, Paragimel, Mishnah Vav, also holds like this. And also the Mikdash David in Kachim Beis, Chaf Aleph Os Beis, says that this is the sheet of Rashi and Rabbeinu Gerashim in the Menachas Daf Kaf Aleph. But Rashba and Tshuva's Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Shin Test, holds that the cleaning out and the filling up of the oil and replacing the wicks are all part of the Avodah of Hatavas HaNeiros. And they were all done in the morning. The Rav in Tamid, Paragimel, Mishnah Test, also writes like this. The Ramban in the Mulchamas here, they're one of the first Rambans in our Masechta, writes that the Avoda of the Hatava is just filling up the new oil and replacing the wicks, and was done every morning. In Yom Kippur, it was done by the Kohen Gadol, and therefore he had to get ready to do it, prepare himself, practice it 7 days beforehand. But the cleaning out of the old ashes and taking out the wicks that had old ones that had burnt out, that is just preparation to the avoda and were done by someone else. The Rambam in Tmidim Musaf and Paragim Halachas Yud through Yud Beis and the Ritva both hold that Hatavas HaNeiros is just the lighting, and he would light them also in the morning and in the evening as well. And the Rambam doesn't mention anything about the Kohen Gadol if he would clean out the wicks and the ash on Yom Kippur. But the Ritva does say that even the cleaning out would be done by the Kohen Gadol. So you have all different things all around. Does Hatavas HaNeiros, where it says in the Mishnah, Meitiv es HaNeiros, does it mean cleaning out? Does it mean putting in oil? Does it mean replacing the wicks? Or does it mean lighting the menorah? And any combinations of the above, you can find various shitas as we explained. Continuing on, what else does he do in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days? Umakriv es harosh ves haregel. He also brings in on the Mizbeach the head and the leg, Tiferes Yisrael says, of the Tamid, as those are the first parts of the Tamid that were put on the Mizbeach, but he also brings the other Avarim as well. It just mentions the first ones. The Rambam Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey says, Umakter Evarei Tamid HaMizbeach. He brings the Evarim of the Tamid HaMizbeach, which sounds like he would be Makter all the Evarim. The Tosafot Yantam explains, again, that the Mishnah said just the head and the leg, because those are the first that he brought to Mizbeach, but it really meant them all. But the Meiri argues, and he says, no, he wasn't necessary for him to put every single Aver all 7 days of the Karban Tamid onto the Mizbeach. That would tire him out too much. He just had to practice how to do the Avoda. I guess he would practice as much as he needed to. But the Meiri doesn't say that part. In Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet, it says, Lehakriv es harosh es Eivarim, that he would bring on Yom Kippur the head and all the Eivarim. So on Yom Kippur, he would actually do everything. And it was just a question here, during the 7 days, whether he did every Aver or just some of them. Continuing on, Vishar Kol HaYamim Imratz LaHakrif Makrif, all the others, all he said, every day besides these 7 days, preparing for Yom Kippur, any other day of the year, he could then choose to do whatever carbon he wanted to. Rashi says he can actually choose to do preparation of the menorah, the Meitav HaNeros, or to be makriv any carbon he wants. He can put on the Mizbeach, and the people who are set aside, the Anshei Mishmar, for that week, they can't say, no, we want to do it. He's got first dibs. He has first rights to do it. The Rambam, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Hei, Lachiyud Beis, that he didn't have to join any of the lotteries. They had four different lotteries in the Beis HaMikdash every morning to see who got what job. He didn't have to enter the lotteries. He would just take whatever, to do whatever he wanted. And also the Mishnah says, Shal Kohen Gadol Makriv Chelev Rosh, as Rashi and the Rambam says, he has the right to bring any carbon from anything he wants. For no tochelik barosh, he could take whatever he wants. Rashi says he can take whichever portion he wants to eat when they divide up the carbonous parts to eat. And the Rav adds, and this is only inside the Mikdash, any of the kachri mizbeach, he has a right to choose. But if it's a kachri gvul, like truma, trumas meiser, the kohen gadol and a regular kohen would be equal. And didn't see written anywhere, but I would guess because the truma and other things outside the Beis Mikdash is up to a person to say, I want to designate to give it to this person, to this kohen, to the other kohen. So the kohen gadol can jump in if the owner has a right to give it to whoever he wants. But once you're in the Beis Mikdash and they're bringing the karbanis, there's no owners for those to meet him, whatever. And therefore, the kohen gadol has a right to just take what he wants. Now the Radvaz in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash in the Rambam, the Radvaz on the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Hei Halacha Yud Beis, says that even if someone won the lottery, they divided up, they had a lottery system, and someone won the lottery, he's going to be doing the Ketores that day. That's a big covet. It's a big skula to do the Ketores. He won. He's jumping up and down. The Kohen Gadol can come and say, sorry, I decided I want to do this, a carbon, or I want to do the Ketores today, and you lose that. Tiferes Yisrael in Masechtas Tamid Perek Zayin in the Boaz Os Aleph says that even if the Kohen Gadol decided before they had a lottery, I'm going to tell the next announcement, I'm going to do the Ketores today, I'm going to do bring this part of the carbon up to Mizbeach, they still had to go through a lottery because otherwise you're missing part of the lottery system, and it's Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and you have to do a lottery even if the winner is not going to do anything. So I guess the Musar Haskel here at the end of this second Mishnah is don't count your chickens even after they've hatched before you get a chance to eat them until you actually did what you were supposed to do. By winning the lottery, you still have a chance to lose it, and be careful until you actually do what you think you receive what you think you're supposed to get. So that's the end of our shiur today. I hope you enjoyed the beginning of our Masechtas Yoma. If you want to reach me, any questions, complaints, any comments, you could write to me at Sheldon_Rothman@yahoo.com or call me 052-244-9331. Have a good day.